You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday show, Thursday edition. As promised, I want to pick up where we left off 2 days ago on the testimony of Attorney General Jeff Sessions in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. We were about halfway through his introductory statement, and I want to pick it up from there. And then what I'm going to do is play, time permitting, at least 4 or 6 senators questioning him on various aspects of the situation in Washington regarding both Comey and the investigation of collusion between the Russians and Trump and what's really going on. And then I'm going to do a second, and that will be about half the show. And then I want to get into what's really going on here. Why are we spending so much time with very, very little evidence? As a matter of fact, I haven't seen any. And I'm open-minded. Like I keep telling my audience, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I didn't have anyone to vote for. I could not vote for Hillary Clinton. I simply don't trust her. I think she's corrupt. I think she's guilty of numerous crimes, should be brought to justice, and Trump should appoint a special prosecutor, like he promised in the campaign when he was debating her, to fully investigate it, because it's becoming increasingly clear that the Obama administration, in particular Attorney General Loretta Lynch, was engaged in obstruction of justice in preventing Comey's investigation and evidence to go forward, as it should have. It seems that more than one special prosecutor should be appointed. And I'm having reservations about Mueller, not because of what Trump said. It's the fact that there's just too close a relationship between former FBI Director James Comey and Mueller, and there's a conflict here. And technically, if that conflict exists, and I think it does, he never should have been appointed. There was a mistake, at least choosing him. I'm not necessarily saying it wasn't a mistake to have a special prosecutor. And I'm not I'm just alerting you that I'm going to get into that, because it looks like Loretta Lynch, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and yes, even Barack Obama and Susan Rice should be investigated for numerous crimes. It is a crime to spy on the American people. Abuse of power. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to prove. As a matter of fact, it's somewhat difficult. But it needs to be thoroughly and completely investigated. There's too many loose ends. And the American people, including me and you, are entitled to a full and complete investigation and explanation of what was really going on here. Because I think this testimony that was requested by the Intelligence Committee of the Senate is really one big distraction, because they can't come up with anything. You see, if someone didn't do something, do you think you're going to come up with evidence? Unless it's fabricated evidence, the answer is no. And that's their problem. They've pursued a cover story, and cover stories are meant to give you plausible deniability for a little while. But eventually, all cover stories, because they're made up, fall apart when closely examined. And that's what's happening today with the allegation. And as far as I'm concerned, it's still a big allegation that Trump and or his campaign colluded with the Russians, Putin, and that's the reason Hillary Clinton lost. Well, it's a fairy tale as far as I'm concerned, because I have not seen anything. And I'm willing to listen. I'm objective. I didn't vote for Trump. I don't trust Trump, but I certainly don't trust Hillary Clinton, and I certainly don't trust Barack Obama. And Barack Obama has a history of investigating his political opponents. Now, that's not unique to him, because Hillary Clinton was doing the same thing. It goes under the heading of opposition research. Know your enemies. Know your opponents. Know your rivals. But the difference is, it's one thing for a candidate to do that using their own resources, and a president to do that using the Intelligence Committee. And that's where it's very much is abuse of power. You got to prove it, and they're going to hide their tracks. Criminals are not going to admit and confess to this, because if they did, they'd go to jail. You know, that was one of the reasons Hillary Clinton did not use the State Department provided email account, because she was hiding what she was doing, whatever that is. And it was found out. By accident was found out only because of the Benghazi committee investigating Benghazi. They were looking at the emails, and they noticed it wasn't a .gov or the Department of State email account. It was a private one. If it wasn't for that, we might have never known. Think about that for a minute. So I want to pick it up with Attorney General Sessions. There might be a little overlap. As a matter of fact, I'm sure there's going to be an overlap. But I want to complete or get the end of his account.
In addition, I provided supplemental testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee to explain this event. So I readily acknowledge these two meetings, and certainly not one thing happened that was improper in any one of those meetings. Let me also explain clearly the circumstances of my recusal from the investigation into the Russian interference with the 2016 election. Please, colleagues, hear me on this. I was sworn in as Attorney General on Thursday, February 9th. The very next day, as I had promised to the Judiciary Committee I would do, at least at an early date, I met with career department officials, including a senior ethics official, to discuss some things publicly reported in the press that might have some bearing on whether or not I should recuse myself in this case. From that point, February 10th, until I announced my formal recusal on March 2nd, I was never briefed on any investigative details, did not access any information about the investigation. I received only the limited information that the department's career officials determined was necessary for me to form and make a recusal decision. As such, I have no knowledge about this investigation as it is ongoing today beyond what has been publicly reported. I don't even read that carefully. And I have taken no action whatsoever with regard to any such investigation. On the date of my formal recusal, my chief of staff sent an email to the heads of relevant departments, including by name to Director Comey of the FBI, to instruct them to inform their staffs of this recusal and to advise them not to brief me or involve me in any way in any such matters. And in fact, they have not. Importantly, I recuse myself not because of any asserted wrongdoing or any belief that I may have been involved in any wrongdoing in the campaign, but because a Department of Justice regulation, 28 CFR 45.2, I felt required it. That regulation states, in effect, that department employees should not participate in investigations of a campaign if they served as a campaign advisor. So the scope of my recusal, however, does not and cannot interfere with my ability to oversee the Department of Justice, including the FBI, which has an $8 billion budget and 35,000 employees. I presented to the president my concerns and those of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein about the ongoing leadership issues at the FBI, as stated in my letter recommending the removal of Mr. Comey, along with the Deputy Attorney General's memorandum on that issue, which have been released publicly by the White House. Those represent a clear statement of my views. I adopted Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein's points that he made in his memorandum and made my recommendation. It is absurd, frankly, to suggest that a recusal from a single specific investigation would render the Attorney General unable to manage the leadership of the various Department of Justice law enforcement components that conduct thousands of investigations. Finally, during his testimony, Mr. Comey discussed a conversation that he and I had about the meeting Mr. Comey had with the President. I'm happy to share with the committee my recollection of that conversation that I had with Mr. Comey. Following a routine morning threat briefing, Mr. Comey spoke to me and my chief of staff. While he did not provide me with any of the substance of his conversation with the President, apparently the day before, Mr. Comey expressed concern about proper communications protocol with the White House and with the President. I responded. He didn't recall this, but I responded to his comment by agreeing that the FBI and the Department of Justice needed to be careful to follow department policies regarding appropriate contacts with the White House. Mr. Comey had served in the department for better than two decades, and I was confident that he understood and would abide by the well-established rules limiting communications with the White House, especially about ongoing investigations. That's what's so important to control. My comments encouraged him to do just that, and indeed, as I understand it, he in fact did that. Our Department of Justice rules on proper communications between the department and the White House have been in place for years. Mr. Comey well knew them. I thought and assumed correctly that he complied with them. So I'll finish with this. I recused myself from any investigation into the campaign for president, but I did not recuse myself from defending my honor against scurrilous and false allegations. At all times throughout the course of the campaign, the confirmation process, and since becoming Attorney General, I have dedicated myself to the highest standards. I've earned a reputation for that at home and in this body, I believe, over decades of performance. The people of this country expect an honest and transparent government, and that's what we're giving them. This president wants to focus on the people of this country to ensure they are treated fairly and kept safe. The Trump agenda is to improve the lives of the American people. I know some have different ways of achieving this and different agendas, but that is his agenda, and it's one I share. Importantly, as Attorney General, I have a responsibility to enforce the laws of this nation, to protect this country from its enemies, and to ensure the fair administration of justice. And I intend to work every day with our fine team and the superb professionals in the Department of Justice to advance the important work we have to do. These false attacks, the innuendos, the leaks, you can be sure will not intimidate me. In fact, these events have only strengthened my resolve to fulfill my duty to reduce crime, to support our federal, state, and local law enforcement officers who work on our streets every day. Just last week, it was reported that overdose deaths in this country are rising faster than ever recorded. Last year was 52,000. The New York Times just estimated next year will be 62,000 overdose deaths. The murder rate is up over 10%, the largest increase since 1968. Together, we are telling the gangs, the cartels, the fraudsters, and the terrorists, we are coming after you, every one of our citizens, no matter who they are or where they live, has the right to be safe in their homes and communities. And I will not be deterred. I will not allow this great department to be deterred. from its vital mission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Warner. I have a great honor to appear before you today, and I will do my best to answer your questions.
Now, a couple of points. President Trump was not happy with Attorney General Jeff Sessions for recusing himself regarding the investigation into what was the influence of the Russians on the campaign. But he was emphatic, and I think he did himself a lot of good, reminding the American people that he has a well-deserved reputation for integrity, honesty, and following the law. Now, I don't agree with Mr. Trump, President Trump. I think Attorney General Sessions did the right thing. I could understand, though, why a president would object to that. And in the past, that has been a problem. The Attorney General position has been politicized. It's nothing new. Kennedy did it when he appointed his brother, Robert Kennedy, to be Attorney General. Since then, that's no longer can happen. But what tends to happen is the Attorney General position becomes politicized when a president appoints someone that will protect the president and sees his position as protecting the president and doing what the president wants. The two people that come immediately to mind are Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. Eric Holder simply was not cooperative. He slowed walk everything, delay, and even after delaying, may produce the documents. They might be highly redacted or blacked out, or simply ignore the letter, the request, and what type of information they wanted. With Loretta Lynch, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that she was very much making sure that Hillary Clinton would become the nominee of the Democratic Party by making sure that the FBI completed its investigation without recommending that she be prosecuted. In other words, the fix was in. And she made it clear to Bill Clinton when they met, it wasn't supposed to be on the news, but a newsman was there and they were caught out. And that posed a problem. You don't appear with the husband or spouse of someone that you're investigating. That's a no-no. It gives the appearance that you don't want to investigate. And that's exactly what happened. So she couldn't make the announcement, and James Comey, the FBI director, did. Everyone that's watched that video concluded, it looks like you had a lot of evidence, but we don't understand his, James Comey's, statement that no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute her. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. There are many, many prosecutors with this evidence would go forward. James Comey was taken aback, and he testified as such when he asked the question regarding did anyone try to obstruct your investigation. He recalled that Attorney General Loretta Lynch wanted him to refer to the investigation as a matter. What's interesting about that, that's what Hillary Clinton was referring it to, or a security review. She was under investigation by the FBI for destroying government documents and mishandling classified information. It very much was an investigation. What was interesting, the FBI director does not make the decision whether to prosecute or not, and that, incidentally, is the reason given by Jeff Sessions and his deputy attorney general for firing James Comey because of that 5 July press conference where he reviewed all the evidence and everyone thought, well, he's going to end it with, therefore, I'm recommending to the Department of Justice that we have enough evidence to go forward with a prosecution. He didn't do that. He let her off the hook. The fix was in. It looks like the impression I'm getting that James Comey would do almost anything to keep his job. And that's why he was doing that 5 July interview. Because it wasn't prudent for Loretta Lynch to be the one that made the decision that the prosecution would either go forward or not go forward. Because the appearance, the taint of meeting with Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill, did not inspire confidence that this was a, let's say, unbiased decision. Far from it, just the opposite. So in conclusion, in terms of his introduction, he made very clear that, yeah, he met with Russians, but the Russian ambassador, but very little was said, or it was as a senator. There's no crime here. Democrats and Republicans, senators and representatives, meet with ambassadors from many countries throughout their term of office. They need to hear, get input, what the concerns are, even from our former enemies or rivals, such as the Russians. But what the Democratic Party is trying to do is to make Jeff Sessions into a spy for the Russians. They can't come out and say that, but that's the implication. It's subtle, and frankly, they should be ashamed of themselves. Now, I want to play a couple of senators, their questions, and I want to start, and I'm not going to do it in the order that Jeff Sessions was given the question, and I am going to skip over some of these questions. I'm trying to keep it as balanced as I can between Democrats or Republicans. Tom Cotton, senator from Arkansas, I thought asked the question, and former Senator Sessions, now Attorney General Sessions, answered it. Let's listen in on what Tom Cotton asked.
Did Donald Trump or any of his associates in the campaign collude with Russia in hacking those emails and releasing them to the public? That's where we started 6 months ago. We have now heard from six of the eight Democrats in this committee, and to my knowledge, I don't think a single one of them asked that question. They've gone down lots of other rabbit trails, but not that question. Maybe that is because Jim Comey said last week, as he said to Donald Trump, that on three times he assured him he was not under investigation. Maybe it's because multiple Democrats on this committee have stated they have seen no evidence thus far after 6 months of our investigation and 11 months of an FBI investigation of any such collusion. I would just suggest, what do we think happened at the Mayflower? Mr. Sessions, are you familiar with what spies called tradecraft?
A little bit.
That involves things like covert communications and dead drops and brush passes, right?
That is part of it.
Do you like spy fiction? John Le Carre, Daniel Silva, Jason Matthews?
Yeah, Alan First, David Jason Ignatius. Ignatius's book.
Do you like Jason Bourne or James Bond movies?
No. Yes. I do.
Have you ever, in any of these fantastical situations, heard of a plot line so ridiculous that a sitting United States senator and an ambassador of a foreign government colluded at an open setting with hundreds of other people to pull off the greatest caper in the history of espionage?
Thank you for saying that, Senator Cotton. It's just like through the looking glass. I mean, what is this? I explained how, in good faith, I said I had not met with Russians because they were suggesting I, as a surrogate, had been meeting continuously with Russians. I said I didn't meet with them. And now, the next thing you know, I'm accused of some reception, plotting some sort of influence campaign for the American election. It's just beyond my capability to understand, and I really appreciate, Mr. Chairman, the opportunity at least to be able to say publicly, I didn't participate in that and know nothing about it.
And I gather that's one reason why you want to testify today in public. Last week, Mr. Comey, in characteristic, dramatic, and theatrical fashion, alluded ominously to what you call innuendo, that there was some kind of classified intelligence that suggested you might have colluded with Russia or that you might have otherwise acted improperly. You've addressed those allegations here today. Do you understand why he made that allusion?
Actually, I do not. Nobody's provided me any information.
Thank you.
About
my time is limited. I have a lot of questions. Mr. Blunt asked you if you had spoken in response to Mr. Comey's statement to you after his private meeting with the president on February 14th or February 15th. You said that you did respond to Mr. Comey. Mr. Comey's testimony said that you did not. Do you know why Mr. Comey would have said that you did not respond to him on that conversation with you on February 14th or 15th?
I do not. It was a little conversation, not very long, but there was a conversation, and I did respond to him, perhaps not to everything he asked, but I did respond to him, I think, in an appropriate way.
Do you know why Mr. Comey mistrusted President Trump from their first meeting on January 6th? He stated last week that he did, but he didn't state anything from that meeting that caused him to have such mistrust to believe.
I'm not able to speculate on that.
Let's turn to the potential crimes that we know have happened. Leaks of certain information. here's a short list of what I have. The contents of alleged transcripts of alleged conversations between Mr. Flynn and Mr. Kislyak, the contents of President Trump's phone calls with Australian and Mexican leaders, the content of Mr. Trump's meetings with the Russian foreign minister and the ambassador, the leak of the Manchester bombing suspect's identity and crime scene photos, and last week, within 20 minutes of this committee meeting in a classified setting with Jim Comey, the leak of what the basis of Mr. Comey's innuendo was. Are these leaks serious threats to our national security, and is the Department of Justice taking them with the appropriate degree of seriousness in investigating and ultimately going to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law?
Thank you, Senator Cotton. We have had one successful case very recently in Georgia. That person has been denied bail, I believe, and is being held in custody. But some of these leaks, as you well know, are extraordinarily damaging to the United States security. And we have got to restore a regular order principle. We cannot have persons in our intelligence agencies, our investigative agencies, or in Congress leaking sensitive matters on staff. So this is, I'm afraid, will result in, is already resulting in investigations. And I'm fear that some people may find that they wish they hadn't leaked.
Thank you. My time has expired, but for the record, it was stated earlier that the Republican platform was weakened on the point of arms for Ukraine. That is incorrect. The platform was actually strengthened. And I would note that it was the Democratic president who refused repeated bipartisan requests of this Congress to supply those arms to Ukraine.
Senator. Now, I want to add my comments regarding leaks. First of all, you're never going to stop them completely. All administrations have leakers. Some are not official leakers, but they're giving a blessing. They're deliberately leaking information that the administration wants to leak out. That's not what former President Obama was complaining about, or past presidents, or for that matter, this president, Donald Trump. What presidents get mad about is when they have clearly private, off-the-record, confidential conversations that they need to have between representatives of foreign governments, people in the administration, intelligence community. And it's scandalous, sometimes within minutes, as Senator Cotton referred to, sometimes days, that this information gets out. I think all of us, if we were in that situation, would be rather upset and demanding that the FBI, who's responsible for investigating such crimes, to the best of their ability, to try to stop it. And you got to also realize that the National Security Agency routinely, automatically, every day, is collecting anything that goes over the internet, including phone conversations, and can track it down if the investigation narrows and they can determine where it probably came from. It's not impossible to find out who the leaker is, and they should be prosecuted. I'm very much a rule of law person, and when you decide to be employed by the federal government, whether it's in the military or in law enforcement or any part of the government, you take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that includes the laws of the United States. And it's serious felonies to do what these leakers are doing. The reason this will continue, especially at a rather high level, is people are arrogant enough to think they're going to get away with it. And in many cases, I will say they will, if they're very careful and how they get information into the hands of what I call big lie media, your newspapers, as well as your television network. But you better be careful, because if they narrow it down, they can go to the National Security Agency, make you a target of an investigation, and then they're going to build a dossier of all your communications over the internet, over the phone networks. And that can be very much evidence in a trial. Now, they got to be careful, because they don't want to, in a trial, have to release information that would compromise more important information. But I'm with any administration to stop the unauthorized leak, especially of highly classified information, that could very conceivably lead to the death of agents, for example, that the Central Intelligence Agency that operates abroad recruits, because our enemies read these articles. It's not just Americans that are reading or the articles or listening or viewing the television news shows or commentaries afterwards. They can, if they're thorough, maybe track it back. Now, I bring this up for a reason. Hillary Clinton took it upon herself to have all emails sent to an email server that she had in her home, bypassing the State Department email system, which does have safeguards to try to prevent. Sometimes they're successful. Most times I think they're successful, but a few times they're not, in preventing unauthorized access to their system. You have security specialists in technology that can put in various types of software to minimize, if not eliminate, most of the hacks into their system. That's why it's only prudent, intelligence-wise, to use the government-provided email account and system as opposed to doing it on your own, because if you do it on your own, unless you're really technology savvy, and she wasn't, what's going to happen? Foreign governments are going to penetrate, and I think they have, multiple. Everything that she had on her server, and she had several, most likely, high probability was compromised. And one or more governments, including Russia, China, Israel, North Korea, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and others, some of our allies, would target her, and most likely did. So any classified information she had was very much compromised. And it's hard to track who did it. But when you have minimum or little or none of the even routine protections to take, and I don't think she had them, that subjects her to blackmail. They have leverage on her. The investigation of Hillary Clinton's activities as Secretary of State, both in regard to the email server and the Clinton Charitable Foundation and foreign governments making huge contributions, giving large fees for speeches, for the purpose of getting access to the Secretary of State so they can ask her for whatever they want. That's public corruption. Instead, what we're talking about is collusion that I don't think happened. I don't know, because I don't have any access to evidence. But you would think by now, after 10 months of an investigation, that they'd have something and they don't have anything. And that's what happens when there was no crime. And if there's no crime, you can't have obstruction. No collusion, no crime, no obstruction. Why are the taxpayers paying for this? This is a huge, this whole Intelligence Committee hearing and the testimony they're getting has not resulted in what they thought they had or were going to find is Trump was guilty. We were going to get him. We were going to get the goods on him. Well, they didn't. And I don't think they'll ever find him. That's why you've noticed in the news, you don't hear much anymore about collusion or conspiracy between Trump and the Russians. Instead, he was obstructing justice. Well, my reaction to that is, how can he be obstructing justice if there wasn't a crime? Asking or hoping that the FBI director would let a good guy off, General Mike Flynn, former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, who, yes, was fired by Trump after 18 days of serving. I side with Trump on that I don't think that was an order to Comey to stop the investigation. Comey took it that way, but equally fair, other people, including me, have come to the conclusion that he wasn't obstructing. He doesn't even come close, because Donald Trump has made it very, very clear in interviews that he wants this. Well, he wants two things. I think Comey was fired because Donald Trump, President Trump, asked James Comey three times and was informed by Comey three times that he wasn't under investigation. What the President Trump wanted from Comey was it's not hard to understand. He wanted FBI director to make that public. The FBI director didn't want to do it. If he had done that after the first request, maybe even the second, I think he would still be FBI director. And I don't think that's unreasonable, because the Democrats on these various committees that are listening to James Comey's testimony in executive sessions where they're discussing confidential matters, they knew of that, but they weren't letting out. They weren't leaking it, which is good to know, but you can see the frustration of the president. Like I said, I would have fired James Comey the very first day, and I think right now President Trump wishes he had done that. He gave James Comey an opportunity, and as far as I'm concerned, James Comey blew it. And now Comey, together with Mueller, are still pursuing this, and I think that's a conflict. If anyone should recuse himself, and I don't think should have been appointed now in retrospect, is Mueller. Now, Mueller is investigating a large area. This is just one aspect. Now, I want to get to the questioning. Otherwise, I'm never going to get there. I want to do Marco Rubio and then Ron Wyden. And with Senator Wyden, who's a Democrat, the sparks tend to fly, and I think you'll see why.
Thank you for being here, Attorney General. I want to go back to February 14th and kind of close the loop on the details. Director Comey was here, provided great detail about that day. So what I've heard so far is there was a meeting in the Oval Office on the 14th. You recall being there along with him. At some point, the meeting concluded. The president, everyone got up to leave. The president asked Director Comey to stay behind, correct?
Well, that's a communication in the White House that I would not comment on.
All right.
I do indicate.
You remember seeing him stay behind?
Yes.
Okay. And his testimony was that you lingered. And his view of it was you lingered because you knew that you needed to stay. That was his characterization. Do you remember lingering? Do you remember feeling like you needed to stay?
I do recall being one of the last ones to leave.
You decide to be one of the last ones to leave?
I don't know how that occurred. We had finished counterterrorism briefing. A number of people were there, and people were filtering out. I eventually left, and I do recall that I think I was the last or one of the last two or three to leave.
Would it be fair to say that you felt like you needed to stay because it involved the FBI director?
Well, I don't know that how I would characterize that, Senator Rubio. I left. It didn't seem to me to be a major problem. I knew that Director Comey, longtime experience in the Department of Justice, could handle himself well.
So you saw him after that. He characterized it as he went up to you and said, you know, never leave me alone with the president again. It's not appropriate. And he said, this is his characterization, you just kind of shrugged, like as if to say, what am I supposed to do about it?
Well, I think I described it more completely, correctly. He raised that issue with me, I believe, the next day. I think that was correct. And he expressed concern to me about that private conversation. And I agreed with him. Essentially, that there are rules on private conversations with the president, but there's not a prohibition on a private discussion with the president, as I believe he's acknowledged six or more himself with President Obama and President Trump. So I didn't feel like that's the first, and he gave me no detail about what it was that he was concerned about. I didn't say I wouldn't be able to respond if he called me. He certainly knew that with regard that he could call his direct supervisor, which in the Department of Justice, the direct supervisor to the FBI is the deputy attorney general. He could have complained to the deputy or to me at any time if he felt pressured, but I had no doubt that he would not yield to any pressure.
Do you know if the president records conversations in the Oval Office or anywhere in the White House?
I do not.
Let me ask you this. If, in fact, any president was to record conversations in their official duties in the White House or the like, would there be an obligation to preserve those records?
I don't know, Senator Rubio. Probably so.
I want to go to the campaign for a moment. As I'm sure you're aware, as it's been widely reported, you know, Russian intelligence agencies often pose not simply as an official, but in covers as businessmen, a journalist, and the like. At any point during the campaign, did you have an interaction with anyone who, in hindsight, you look back and say they were trying to influence me or gain insight that, in hindsight, you look at and wonder?
I don't believe in my conversations with the three times.
General.
Well, I met a lot of people, a lot of foreign officials who wanted to argue their case for their country and to point out things that they thought were important for their countries.
But yes, never.
That's a normal thing, I guess, we talk about.
Right, but as far as someone who's not an official from another country, just a businessman or anyone walking down the street who kind of struck you as someone that was trying to find out what you were up to or what the campaign was up to, you never remember any sort of interaction that in hindsight appears suspicious?
Well, I'd have to rack my brain, but I don't recall it now.
My last question. You were on the foreign policy team. The platform, the Republican platform, was changed to not provide defensive weapons to Ukraine. Were you involved in that decision? Do you know how that change was made or who was involved in making that change?
I was not active in the platform committee, did not participate in that, and don't think I had any direct involvement.
Do you know who did, or do you have no recollection of a debate about that issue internally in the campaign?
I never watched the debate, if it occurred on the platform committee. I think it did. So I don't recall that, Senator Rubio. I'd have to think about that.
Senator Wyden.
Thank you very much.
Now, before we let Senator Wyden ask his questions, I'm glad Rubio asked that last point, and I'm glad Attorney General answered the question the way he did. Because the Soviets, now the Russians, and like the CIA, use journalists a lot. They're really trying to influence, and as Sessions said, get their point of view across, but also spot potential opportunities to recruit agents. I don't think at all that Attorney General Sessions, and he would recall that, and that's the point. If someone is trying to recruit you, you usually remember that. And someone like Attorney General Sessions would make sure that was followed up. Now, someone that lacks integrity, and usually it's for money, sometimes, especially in the Cold War, there were communists, socialists, that believed in Russia, the Soviet Union. In other situations, they use blackmail, leverage, whatever they have on you, to try to recruit you, and initially provide them some information and pay you for it. And it goes slowly, but you get deeper and deeper. I've heard no evidence presented that this happened, and that's why you're getting this type of question. Let's go to Senator Wyden.
Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for holding this hearing in the open, in full view of the American people where it belongs. I believe the American people have had it with stonewalling. Americans don't want to hear that answers to relevant questions are privileged and off limits, or that they can't be provided in public, or that it would be, quote, inappropriate for witnesses to tell us what they know. We are talking about an attack on our democratic institutions, and stonewalling of any kind is unacceptable.
Now, why is he using that word, stonewalling? They're trying to relive the Nixon Watergate hearings. And yeah, Nixon was stonewalling, and so was his people. It's a very deliberate, sly attempt. Not very sly, it's too obvious. In every administration, Democrat and Republican, presidents can assert executive privilege. And in a minute, Jeff Sessions is going to answer that. But it's rather offensive to use that word right off the bat. Wyden is a partisan. Let's continue.
And General Sessions has acknowledged that there is no legal basis for this stonewalling. So now to questions. Last Thursday, I asked former Director Comey about the FBI's interactions with you, General Sessions, prior to your stepping aside from the Russian investigation. Mr. Comey said that your continued engagement with the Russian investigation was, quote, problematic, and he, Mr. Comey, could not discuss it in public. Mr. Comey also said that FBI personnel had been calling for you to step aside from the investigation at least 2 weeks before you finally did so. Now, in your prepared statement, you stated you received only, quote, limited information necessary to inform your recusal decision. But given Director Comey's statement, we need to know what that was. Were you aware of any concerns at the FBI or elsewhere in government about your contacts with the Russians or any other matters relevant to whether you should step aside from the Russian investigation?
Senator Wyden, I am not stonewalled. I am following the historic policies of the Department of Justice. You don't walk into any hearing or committee meeting and reveal confidential communications with the President of the United States, who's entitled to receive confidential communications in your best judgment about a host of issues, and have to be accused of stonewalling for not answering them. So I would push back on that. Secondly, Mr. Comey, perhaps he didn't know, but I basically recused myself the first day I got into the office, because I never accessed files. I never learned the names of investigators. I never met with them. I never asked for any documentation. The documentation, what little I received, was mostly already in the media and was presented by the senior ethics public responsibility, professional responsibility attorney in the department.
General,
and I made a honest and proper a decision to recuse myself, as I told Senator Feinstein and the members of the committee I would do when they confirmed me.
General Sessions, respectfully, you're not answering the question.
Well, what is the question?
The question is, Mr. Comey said that there were matters with respect to the recusal that were problematic and he couldn't talk about them. What are they?
Why don't you tell me? They are none, Senator Wyden. There are none. I can tell you that for absolute certainty. This is a secret innuendo being leaked out there about me, and I don't appreciate it. And I've tried to give my best and truthful answers to any committee I've appeared before. And it's really people are suggesting through innuendo that I have been not honest about matters, and I've tried to be honest.
This is a technique of people that want to smear another person. They don't have any evidence. This is getting real old. They have nothing, yet they intimate that they do. Sessions is entirely in line objecting to what this senator is doing. And the senator knows, I think he knows. This is what I call, well, he's an operator. Let him continue.
My time is short. You've made your point that you think Mr. Comey is engaging in innuendo. We're going to keep digging.
Well,
on this.
Senator Wyden, he did not say that. He said
it was problematic, and I asked you what was problematic about it.
Why doesn't he ask Comey what's problematic? What's going on here? You see, what was frustrating about Comey, anytime they got into an area that Comey thought was sensitive, well, I can't respond to that because it has to be done. I'm calling an executive session. It would touch matters that are highly classified, so I can't answer the question. You're dangling, there's something there, and now they're using it against Sessions. That's how the game is played. Isn't it cute?
Some of that leaked out of the committee that he said in closed sessions.
Okay. One more question. I asked former FBI director whether your role in firing him violated your recusal, given that President Trump said he fired Comey because of the Russian investigation. Director Comey said this was a reasonable question. So I want to ask you just point blank, why did you sign the letter recommending the firing of Director Comey when it violated your recusal?
It did not violate my recusal.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this is ridiculous. First of all, the president can fire anyone, including Comey, for no reason. What they're referring to is the letter that said that the letter that gave the reason was that on July 5th, FBI director was out of bounds. The FBI director does not make decisions as to who is prosecuted. That is the responsibility of the Department of Justice. And James Comey worked in the Department of Justice for over 20 years. He knows that. He was out of line, and President Obama should have fired him on the spot. The reason President Obama didn't fire him on the spot, because this was the way to get Hillary Clinton out from under an FBI investigation. And Comey, to keep his job, played along, laid out all the evidence, but then at the end said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Nonsense. And he misconstrued the law, saying you got to prove intent. No, you didn't have to prove intent. Let's wrap it up here.
It did not violate my recusal. That would be the answer to that. And the letter that I signed represented my views that had been formulated for some time.
Mr. Chairman, just if I can finish, that answer, in my view, doesn't pass the smell test. The president tweeted repeatedly about his anger at investigations into his associates in Russia. The day before you wrote your letter, he tweeted that the collusion story was a total hoax. And
it is. And they're upset about it. See, the president is fighting back. That's one reason they really don't like Trump. There's a fighter that's not going to take this garbage from the Democratic Party, this fairy tale that they don't have any evidence for.
Asked, when will this taxpayer-funded charade end? I don't think your answer passes the smell test.
Well, Senator Wyden, I think I should be allowed to briefly respond at least and would say the letter, the memorandum Deputy Rosenstein wrote and my letter that accompanied it represented my views of the situation.
Let's listen to Senator Collins and Senator Heinrich.
Attorney General Sessions, I want to clarify who did what with regard to the firing of Mr. Comey. First of all, let me ask you, when did you have your first conversation with Rod Rosenstein about Mr. Comey?
We talked about it before either one of us were confirmed. It was a topic of, you know, conversation about among people who'd served in the department a long time. They knew that what had happened that fall was pretty dramatically unusual. Many people felt it was very wrong. And so it was in that context that we discussed it. And we both found that we shared a common view that a fresh start would be appropriate.
And this was based on Mr. Comey's handling of the investigation involving Hillary Clinton, in which you said that he usurped the authority of prosecutors at the Department of Justice?
Yes, that was part of it. And the commenting on the investigation in ways that go beyond the proper policies. We need to restore Senator Collins, I think, the classic discipline in the department. My team, we've discussed this. There's been too much leaking and too much talking publicly about investigations. In the long run, the department historic rule that you remain mum about ongoing investigations is the better policy.
Now, subsequently, the president asked for you to put your views in writing. You've testified today. And I believe that you were right to recuse yourself from the ongoing Russian investigation. But then on May 9th, you wrote to the president recommending that Mr. Comey be dismissed. And obviously, this went back many months to the earlier conversations you had had with Mr. Rosenstein. But my question is, why do you believe that your recommendation to fire Director Comey was not inconsistent with your March 2nd recusal?
Thank you. The recusal involved one case involved in the Department of Justice and in the FBI. They conduct thousands of investigations. I'm the Attorney General of the United States. It's my responsibility to our Judiciary Committee and other committees to ensure that that department is run properly. I have to make difficult decisions. And I do not believe that it is a sound position to say that if you're recused for a single case involving any one of the great agencies like DEA or U.S. Marshals or ATF that are part of the Department of Justice, you can't make a decision about the leadership in that agency.
I have to interrupt it there. I'm not going to have time to get into the second story, but I want to at least make a comment. There are terrible scandals that have to be addressed. That the President of the United States spied on the American people and the Republican Party and its candidates during the political campaign, and we only know a little bit about it. That needs to be fully and completely investigated, whether it's a special counsel or by the Justice Department through the FBI. That's a huge scandal, and the press is ignoring it, and the Democratic Party is making sure they ignore it by having these meetings, testimony. They're blowing smoke because they know they've wasted a lot of time and come up empty. And it's not only the president. It's the people involved. His security, national security advisor, Susan Rice, his attorney general, Loretta Lynch, and the fact that the appearance is great and more evidence is coming to light that the fix was in. They needed to kill this FBI investigation so Hillary Clinton could get the nomination. You don't run for president being under investigation by the FBI. That's why Comey did what he did, and that's why Attorney General Sessions and others that have served in the Justice Department wanted James Comey fired. The only reason President Obama didn't fire him, he knew what was happening. But you better believe if Hillary Clinton had been elected, he would have been fired on the first day. The hypocrisy here, the deception, the lying is stunning because there are real crimes that are not being pursued. And they won't be pursued unless the President of the United States instructs the Attorney General to investigate this. And they should be investigated because the American people are owed a detailed explanation as to what happened. I'm not excited that the Russians were trying to influence the election. But let me tell you what's a lot worse. The Democratic Party under the leadership of Barack Obama abused his power by using the intelligence community to try to come up with leverage, blackmail, dirt on the Republican candidates. That's beyond the pale. And that is illegal, using the intelligence community, government resources for political ends. That's not what the big lie media is not talking about. This is a diversion, diverting the American people's attention from the real crimes and the real scandals of the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton, Attorney General, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton, a former president, the Clinton Charitable Foundation, and their staffs. And until an example is made by pursuing it, these leaks will continue. So President Trump better start issuing instructions to Attorney General Sessions to go on the offensive and really go after real crimes. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.